talking, communicating, emailing, texting, posting on social media. We all communicate in hundreds of different ways every day with different people. So how do we know if we are a superb communicator or we're crappy at it? And some people admit, yes, I'm excellent at communication. And I always ask, how do you know that? And there are other people who say, no, I'm really crappy at it and I want to learn. Interestingly, I put myself right at that other end. I'm really crappy at it and I want to learn, because even if I think I'm really good at communicating, which I'm not, I would always like to get better. So I'm always at that end of how can I possibly learn more, get better, improve my communication, because there are so many different kinds of people in the world and everybody we communicate with is different to the last person. So even if I think I had a great conversation with somebody in my last conversation, I'm always analyzing, okay, what could I do better in my next conversation so I can improve my communication? And I was taught that a really long time ago, that it's not about me, it's not about what I say, it's about how much can I learn from the people that I come in contact with, both from the conversation and the information that they share with me, but also from the way I communicated, how can I learn to be better in my next communication? So because I study excellence in this area, I'm constantly asking questions, constantly reading, studying, learning about communication. So I'm very privileged to have learned from some of the best people in the world. And here are some of their suggestions. And when I say suggestions, they always do it brilliantly. It's always about asking questions. So if you want to be great at communication, and obviously the reasons for that, do you want to earn more money? Do you want to have great personal relationships? Do you want people to respect you and or like you, or both? Do you want to have a great reputation for being a superb communicator? Do you want to be memorable? Do you want people to have had a conversation or a communication with you and remember it in the future? So that might be good for business. It might be good for, you might be an athlete and you want to get sponsorship. You might be looking for a hot date. So how do we know that we're superb communicators? Because they're all the top reasons why you'd want to be. So one of the things that has been suggested is that always analyze your last conversation and or your last 10 or more conversations, whether it's with somebody that you love and you're totally passionately, madly in love with, and you feel that you know them really well, right through to complete strangers and everything in between. So the last 10 conversations that you had, some great questions to ask about those conversations, because often we have conversations with people and we forget that we had them. We don't think about, could I have asked better questions? Could I have been a better communicator? Which means, of course, we don't learn from every conversation. So one of the great tips or the great suggestions is that if you want to be a great communicator, it's not about you or me doing the talking. It's about the other person getting to share about themselves. And if you've ever been in a conversation with somebody where you can tell that as you're talking, they're not listening because they're thinking about what they want to say next, and or they're looking for somebody else to talk to because you're really boring. And if you've ever been in that situation, one of the top tips from the best communicators in the world is that when you have a conversation with somebody, it isn't about you doing the talking. People are interested, genuinely interested in themselves. So we always think about, I need to be interesting to listen to, but ultimately it's about being interested in other people, which means the suggestion is, in every conversation, when you're analyzing your last 10 conversations, for example, who did most of the talking? And if it's somebody that you don't know, it's been suggested it's the 80-20 rule. So they do at least 80% of the talking. You only do 20% of the talking, and the talking that you do is simply asking questions. So when you're analyzing your last 10 conversations, who did most of the talking? Did you ask a lot of questions, and did they answer your questions? And obviously that then comes down to the way you listen. So you need to lean forward, maintain eye contact, open your body language, and actively listen so that people want to keep talking. If you feel that people are uncomfortable to talk to you, then it's probably your challenge, my challenge. If somebody's not opening up to me, it's usually because we're not opening our body language that makes them feel like it's okay to talk. So I'll say that again, you lean forward, maintain eye contact, open your body language, and actively listen, which simply means you don't say anything, you just nod your head. Say, really? And the beautiful one, which is, tell me more about that. So then people feel that it's okay to keep talking. So number one is, who did most of the talking? And If you feel that you are doing too much talking, the suggestion is that stop, think, and ask a question. So the next question is, who did you talk about? So if you want to be interesting, then you'll probably talk about yourself. If you want to be interested and you want the other person to feel that you are a superb communicator, then the question is, did you talk about yourself or them? And they should be the ones that are talking about them. So a great question to ask. Number one, who did most of the talking? And then number two, did we talk about them or me? And please be aware that people are not interested in me. They're not interested in you. They're interested in what you can do for them, for sure. But they certainly don't feel that you can do anything for them if all you're doing is talking about yourself. So the next question is, how much do I know and how much more do I know about the person that I'm chatting with? And even if it's somebody that you really love, that you care about, that you think you know, in every conversation, the question is, how much more did I learn about this person? Because I asked great questions, because I asked interesting questions, did they open up even further and share more about themselves with me? So one of the great things at our house, I've known my husband now for 22 years, and every single day, he still shares something with me that I've never heard before. It'll be an experience or a joke or somebody that he's met in the past or something he's achieved in the past. And I get really excited because every single day I learn more about somebody that I've known for a very long time. And I aim to do that in every conversation. I'm sure that you do too. Even if it's somebody that you love and you're really close to, how much more do you know at the end of the conversation? And then with a complete stranger, obviously you don't know anything about them. So when you walk away from them, you want to be saying, I know this much about this person, and not just that you know, but that you will remember it in the future. There is something very, very special when you meet somebody again and you can share with them, tell me about the holiday that you went on, or tell me about the sporting competition you competed in, or share with me about the business proposal that you were going to send out. It's a very special communication tool that people are reminded that not only did you listen to them when they were talking, but you remember it in the future. And of course, the only way to do that is to ask great questions and then consciously listen to the answers so that you can remember them in the future. Another great question to ask about every conversation, of course, is, did my conversation add value to the other person's life? And that's one of the big ones, because every day we have, or we listen to people talk about how sick they are, or tired they are, or stressed they are, or they've got a sore foot, or they've got a problem in their life, or it's raining, or there's bad traffic. And we talk about such boring things. If you want to be a great communicator, it's been suggested that everything that comes out of your mouth would add value to the other person's life. So if you're talking about the weather, does that actually add value, or is that the same boring conversation that they had with the last person? If you ask boring questions like, how are you today, the same question that everybody else asks, you're probably going to get a really boring answer. So the suggestion is, when you ask a question, how can I add value to this person's life? And is it simply me listening to them talk because nobody else listens to them? And that's one of the great things I experience when I chat in schools. Whether somebody's 7, 17 or 77, if you lean forward, maintain eye contact, open up your body language and actually listen to what the person's got to say, they usually feel very valued, very cherished, because not very many people listen to what they've got to say. And I'll give you another example. As a woman, we often, it's said that women are better at communicating, that we listen better, or that women are so much better at communicating than men. But if you listen to women talking, if there's 5 women in a room or 50 women in a room or even 2 women, there'll be 2 people talking. It's very rare to have somebody actually listen to what you've got to say. So as a woman, I'm really aware of that. Am I talking over the top of somebody? Am I genuinely listening to what they've got to say, or am I thinking about what I'm going to say next? And the only way to know that, or to test that, is that you learned something from the conversation, something new about the person. So will my conversation with this person add value to their life? And obviously the best way to know that is that you've learned more about them because they've felt comfortable talking to you. Obviously, the next question is, did I share negative or positive information? It's really easy to get into a downward spiral. If you're in a group of people who are talking negatively, are you the person that adds negative to the conversation, or do you switch it around and turn it into a positive? So if somebody's talking about the weather, for example, it's really cold, it's winter, I'll always say, yeah, but when it's cold, it's fresh and crisp and it's great for your metabolism. Tell me how fast you want your metabolism to be. So I aim to switch the conversation around so that the information or the question that I ask is a positive question rather than a negative one. And once again, that great tip has been shared with me by the best in the world. So what a great question to ask. The information in my last 10 conversations, was it positive or negative information? Of course, another great question to ask is, do I share my challenges, my problems, my sickness, or my injury? And if I am sharing it, why am I sharing it? A great question is, does this person have the solution to my problem, my challenge, my injury, or my sickness? And if they do, should I be paying them professionally for helping me with that challenge? If I'm sharing that I'm broke, is this person a financial planner, and should I be paying them for their information? If I'm sharing that I'm sick, is this person a doctor, and should I be going to see them professionally? If I'm sharing that I'm depressed or anxious or I've got challenges in my life, is this person a psychologist, and should I be paying them professionally for their advice? Now, the other really important thing is, if you're sharing your problem or your challenge or your sickness or your injury, do you know whether or not the person in front of you has something worse going on in their life? Often we talk about, oh, I've got a headache, but this person might have a brain tumor, or somebody in their life has got a brain tumor. You might be talking about being broke, but this person has just had their house repossessed. One of the really important things about sharing our own problems and challenges is, first of all, does it add value to the other person's life if I'm sharing my problem? Should I be paying them for their professional advice? Can they provide me with a solution? And if I'm just venting, or I'm just being just dumping on people, how do I know that that person isn't going through something much, much worse than me? And me sharing my stuff could be making it worse for them. So people might be looking at us with a bizarre look on their face, or an upset look on their face, or even an angry look on their face. It could be because the information that we're sharing isn't making them feel good, isn't adding positive value to their life, and they might be going through something much worse than we are, and we're dumping our stuff on them even though they've got this big challenge in their life, and we actually don't know they've got a challenge in their life because we haven't even asked. So one of those really important things about superb communication is, it isn't about me, it's about the other person, and do I know everything about the other person so I don't dump my rubbish on them? The other thing that's really interesting is, when we talk about what we've done or what we've achieved or where we've been, do we know that the person that we're talking to hasn't done more than us, hasn't achieved more than us, hasn't already been to the place that we're talking about? So we might start raving about, oh, I've just been on holidays to Tahiti, or I've just been on holidays to Rome, and we start ranting and raving about our holiday, but we haven't asked whether or not the person's even been there. We might say, oh, you should go to Tahiti, you'll absolutely love it, it's amazing. Now, we don't know that that person hasn't already been to Tahiti, that they haven't had a terrible experience in Tahiti. Worst case scenario, what if their partner died in Tahiti? And we say something like, oh, you should go to Tahiti, you'll absolutely love it, it's just amazing. But we don't know anything about that person's experience with Tahiti. It's the superb communication technique of, don't talk about what you've done, what you've achieved, where you've been, until you know who your audience is. And if somebody says to you, have you ever been to Tahiti? I've never been there, I'd like to go. It's still a much better response to that question, why do you ask me the question? And I'll use that as the ultimate communication tool, because often when people ask us a question, we immediately, without even thinking, we just answer the question. A great tip that I was taught a very long time ago is, if somebody asks you a question, don't answer the question. Always respond with, why did you ask me that question? And what we'll often find is, the person is not interested in our experience, our opinion, or our ideas. They just want to talk, but it would be rude to just start talking, so they ask us a question. And the classic example is, what did you have for breakfast? And I'm pretty convinced that most people aren't interested in what I had for breakfast. So I always ask, why do you ask that question? And then comes the, oh, this is what I think you should eat for breakfast, or this is what I think you shouldn't eat for breakfast, or this is what I had for breakfast. And you could use every example for every question on that. So a great tip is, rather than answering a question, always ask, why did you ask me that question? And if you're going to talk about yourself, be really aware of the people that are in your conversation, and have they already been there, done that, achieved more than you? There's nothing more embarrassing than raving on about your major achievement. I just won the local competition for blah, blah. But the person that you're talking to could be the world champion in that particular area. And you're raving on like an expert, but that person is the best in the world at it. And you, if you don't ask, you'll never know. So the next question to ask is, do you share your opinions in a conversation? So in your last 10 conversations, do you or have you shared your opinion on religion or politics or sexual persuasion or eating or exercise or all the different things that we have opinions about? And if you did share your opinion, did you know before you shared your opinion what the other person's opinion is? And could you have offended them? Could you have hurt them? Could you have annoyed them simply because you're ranting and raving about your opinion and theirs is completely different to yours? And one of the classics at the moment is political persuasion. Regardless of what you think of the current American president, there are people who voted for that president and they love that president. And if you say, I think that president's an idiot, you might automatically shut down the conversation. And be aware that people travel, and there are people from all over the world in your country right now. So you might think that your opinion's the most important opinion and you don't like a particular politician, or you don't like a particular religion, or you don't agree with a certain opinion that's happening in the world right now. But could we be aware that there are other people that don't have the same opinion as us? So before we share our opinion, could it be a really good idea to find out what the other person's opinion is so that we don't offend anybody, hurt anybody or annoy them? The next one that's really interesting in your last 10 conversations, do you share recommendations? Do you tell people you should go on this holiday or you should read this book or you should go to this movie? And the interesting thing there is they might have already seen that movie, read that book, been on that holiday. So you're just talking, again, you're sharing your opinion without knowing what the other person likes or dislikes or what their opinion is. So you might say, oh, look, I've just seen this movie and you should go and see it. It's absolutely awesome. But what if that person either doesn't like that kind of movie or they've already just seen that movie and hated it? It makes the conversation really awkward. So before you share a recommendation, whether it's about a restaurant or a movie or a holiday, why not ask, have you ever been to? Have you seen this movie? Have you read this book? Before sharing your opinion. And it's not about you can't share your opinion. But if you want to be a superb communicator, it's been suggested that you find out who your audience is, what they know, what they believe in, what their opinions are, and what they like or dislike, so that you don't either hurt, offend, or annoy the people that you're chatting to. Because obviously the conversation is not going to go very well if you're doing any of those three things. The next great thing to do, analyze from each of your conversations, is what did you learn from the conversation? And if you did learn something, did you thank the person for teaching you or sharing with you? So if somebody's delivering information about a book or a holiday or a religious persuasion or an opinion about politics, if you are open to learning and open to listening, then you may now have, you might not change your opinion about that particular religion or that particular movie or that holiday experience, but you might have learned something. And what a graceful, and there's a beautiful word, gracious. In a conversation, if you're thankful for having the conversation, the fact that the person invested time in having a conversation with you, that they shared personal information with you, at the end of that conversation, did you say thank you? And a great way to wrap up a conversation is, thank you so much. This is what I learned today from our conversation. You shared a little bit about yourself. I've learned now about where to go or not to go when I visit Rome. I now know that the best part of that book was the middle of the book. I now know that that something about on that menu at that restaurant might not be particularly nice. It's a what we call a paraphrase. So when you are a great listener, not a great talker, but a great listener, you will lean forward, maintain eye contact, open body language, listen with an active, so we call it active listening, where you say, yes, wow, tell me more. And then ultimately you would be able to pause before replying, so you don't immediately go into conversation when somebody shared something with you, because it means you weren't listening to what they've got to say. If you pause, it means that you're now thinking about what you're going to say. You weren't thinking about it while they were talking. And if you've been a great listener, you'll be able to paraphrase back what they shared with you, which again shows that you listened to what they had to say, that you were genuinely interested in what they had to say. And then comes that beautiful, gracious ending to the conversation, which is thank you so much. From our conversation, I have learned, you have taught me. Thank you for investing time with me. I really appreciate it. And then last but not least, in your last 10 conversations, will you remember them? And will the person remember you, and what for? Will they remember you for the right reason? Because you were gracious, you were kind, you were respectful, you listened to what they had to say, you didn't offend them, you didn't hurt them, you didn't make them angry. And they will think of you as a superb communicator. And then will you remember the conversation? Because you have analyzed, could I be better at communicating? Could I have asked better questions? What did I learn from that conversation? What did I remember about what that person told me? So that when I meet them again, I'll be able to say, wow, tell me about, because you remembered what they had to say. So a great way to wrap up any conversation is a quick, I like to call it analyzation, of what did I learn and what will I remember for next time I come in contact with this person. So they're the suggestions from the best in the world. In your last 10 conversations or more with people that you either really love and care about, right through to complete strangers, who did most of the talking? Did you talk about them, or did you talk about yourself? How much more do you know about them because you ask lots of questions? Did your conversation add value to their life? Did you share negative or positive information? Did you share your problems, your challenges, your sickness, or your injury? And did you know whether or not they've got something worse going on they've got something worse in their life than you have in yours? Because it would be really awkward if that was the case. Did you talk about what you've done and what you've achieved and where you've been, or did you talk about what's going on in their life rather than yours? If you shared your opinion, why did you? And could your opinion have offended or hurt or annoyed this person? It's a great question to ask at the end of any conversation. If you shared a recommendation, did you find out first whether or not they had been there, done that, and whether you're just giving your opinion and there's just hot air coming out of your mouth versus this person would actually be interested in your recommendation or opinion? What did you learn from the conversation, and will you remember the conversation? It's a great way to become a superb communicator, and perhaps some great questions to ask at the end of every conversation. And then if you want to be a superb communicator in every area, so whether it's on email or text or whether you're posting on social media, the questions are, do I want to add value when I communicate with other people, and do I? Is this post, is this text, is this email, is it going to add value to this person's life, or is it going to detract value? If I was going to read it, would it add value to my life? If I had to listen to what I'm saying, if I was going to watch my video on Instagram or watch what I'm sharing on YouTube, would it add value to my life, and am I aiming to add value to other people's lives? Another great question is, am I proud of my communication, my text, my email, my post? When I press send, would I be happy for the rest of the world to see it? And what about in the future? So I might at the moment be emotional or angry or upset, but if I read this again tomorrow or in a year's time or 10 years' time, will I be proud of what I've posted, written, text? What about my kids? Now, I don't have any kids, but I'm really aware that I have lots, because I go to schools a lot and I invest a lot of time with, particularly with teenagers, I'm really aware that whatever I put out to the world, that other people will be seeing it, and will I be really proud for kids to read it, watch it? Will it add value to their lives? But also, is it something that will make their life better? Often on social media, we see pictures of, you know, this is what I had for lunch, or this is my ripped abdominals, or this is my ass cheeks hanging out of my shorts. And I always wonder, whose life is that going to add value to? And will I be proud of this, particularly if children see it? And what about if my own kids see it? Now, I don't have to ask that question, but I'm really aware that I want to add value to children's lives, not be embarrassed by what I'm putting out to or sending out to the world. Am I proud of the positive messages I send out to the world? Are they negative messages, or are they just of no value at all? And then gossip, criticism, negative things, when we say horrible things about other people or other businesses, is it adding value to anybody's life by me doing that? And I use the example, if I make a negative comment about a cafe or a restaurant or a hotel or an airline, should I have gone to the owner or the manager or the duty manager of that coffee shop, restaurant, hotel, airline, and given them my constructive criticism and shared a solution to the problem, rather than just got cranky on social media and just sent nasty messages out to the world? And I share that with you because if it's your business, if you own a business, would you want to know how you can fix a problem, find a solution to a problem, rather than have someone just yell nasty things out on social media? And it's really easy to do it because we're in an emotional state. I'm just going to get on TripAdvisor and get angry about that restaurant or about that hotel. I'm just going to get on Facebook and tell everybody, don't go there, it was terrible. But ultimately, is that solution finding, or is that just whining? And it's a question I always ask myself, Rowie, are you solution finding or whining? So if you want to be a superb communicator, there's a lot of information out there on how to do it. But ultimately, I was taught again by the best in the world, it's an awareness thing. How well did I communicate in my last 10 conversations, and how could I get better at it every time I have a conversation? And am I adding massive value to my world or detracting value from my world? And I think if we can focus on that, then our communication is always going to get better. If we're unaware of what we're saying, then our communication is going to be poor. And that's a great question. Do I want to have a reputation of somebody who is kind and respectful and gracious in my communication, or I don't want people to think that I'm rude, disinterested, disrespectful, indifferent? And it doesn't take much to get either of those reputations. It's just a matter of thinking about what we say, what we text, what we email, what we post, and perhaps thinking before we say it, text it, post it.